Anyhow, so good to see everybody, Brother Richard, everybody. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord, don't you? And, I haven't seen y'all's new chairs. They look nice. And a good crowd here. All these young people. Isn't it good? Man, alive. If they all grow up and stay right here and get married, y'all be running about 300 right off the bat there. Isn't that right? Praise God. Well, anyhow, a lot of things I want to say. Some of them I wonder if I should say. But, you don't know if you say too much or not enough. But I'm just glad to be here. I was praying this morning early, and God brought Brother Samuel and Sister Bethany's name to me in prayer. And I called him, said, if you could use a preacher tonight, I'd like to come down there. So here I am. And just maybe God will do something to help us. Brother Height was pastor where I go, and Brother Joey said there aren't any coincidences with God. When God sends a preacher by, God's trying to speak to somebody or do something. So I believe that, don't you? Amen. Deuteronomy 32, if you would. 1 Kings chapter 19. I've enjoyed all the testimonies. Deuteronomy 32. I want to tell you this. Because I want to say it. I want to say it somewhere. Our country's tore up right now. And I was in North Albany, Georgia. And I was sick. And I don't know if anybody here has ever been there. And I've got a good friend that's a doctor down there. And I went to the clinic. And I was the only white person in that whole clinic. Only one. And you know that nurse grabbed my arm, and she took my pulse. And you know her hand felt just like every other hand. And I'm sure if you'd ask her, my arm felt like every other arm. She drew blood from me. I guarantee you, yeah, she said it's just blood. You know? And they helped me and told me what I need to do to get better. Told me to eat a bunch of bran and fiber and got me feeling better. And I thought, we can argue about all these stupid things, but you'd ask that lady right there, she'd tell you that white man's arm felt just like an arm. His blood looked just like blood. He was sick just like everybody else gets sick and need help just like everybody else needs help. You know that? And that's just the way it is. There's only one race in the Bible, and that's the human race. The Bible said we're all we're all of the same kindred and tongue. Amen. And so anyhow, that's the way I believe it. Deuteronomy 32 and 11. I also believe, I'll tell you this real quick, while you're finding that, there are people in this country we need to listen to a little bit because they are being mistreated. That's true. Yeah, that is true. We need to listen to some people. There are people being mistreated. That's true. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young. Have you got that? Are you reading that? As an eagle stirreth, I preached this before, Brother Samuel and Sister Bethany, they get out and travel to revivals and bring a bunch of people with them, so you may have heard me preach this, but don't matter, because it's what God laid on my heart for this service. An eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young. You see that word fluttereth? It's the only time it's ever mentioned in the Bible. Fluttereth. I don't know what. I like words that are unusual in the Bible. And when I read that word, I know what a fluttering bird looks like, don't you? He ain't flying, he's fluttering. And that's what the Bible said this eagle does. Must be a mother. Eagle stirs up her nest, flutters over young. I've heard preachers preach on that and say, well, she's showing them how to fly. I don't think she's showing them how to fly. I don't think she's telling them if you can't fly, at least shake yourself. Do what you can. You know? 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1 is the story of a famous man in the Bible who was struggling. 1 Kings 19 and 1. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. And withal I had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, can I tell you what she said? I'm going to kill you. And when he saw that, verse 3 said, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, left him his servant there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die, and said, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Now, Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. Amen. I'm glad when he prayed and asked God to kill him, that God didn't kill him. I'm glad a few times I've prayed for God to kill me, didn't do it. As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was cake baking on the coals and cruse water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God, and came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And I'll stop right there for now. I want to preach on that word in Deuteronomy, fluttering. You can be seated. May God help us. Got some stuff here. I want to talk to you about struggling. And you know, if you're struggling, one time when I was a boy, the neighbor boy and me was fighting. We were little kids scrapping. And the neighbor boy bit me. I'm missing part of my anatomy today. He bit me, took a chunk out of me. And I was whipping him, and my big brother come and pulled me off of him, drug me in the house. And then my brother left, and as soon as he turned his back, I ran out the side door and caught that boy going by the side door and jumped on him again. Because it wasn't finished. And, you know, there's a difference between not even trying and struggling. Struggle is to contend with an opponent, to make great effort, to make your way with great difficulty. A lot of men in the Bible struggle. You know that? Years ago, somebody gave me a little book called Our Daily Bread. And in that book was a story that changed my life. I never forgot it. It was just a little story, an illustration, but it was titled Dead Ducks Don't Flutter. Okay? Everybody say that with me. Dead ducks don't flutter. And it was a story about a man that just got saved, and he went duck hunting. He asked his boss to go duck hunting with him. And they were out duck hunting that day, and they killed some ducks. And on the way home, the new convert, they took his car, and his car broke down. And he raised the hood and was working on it, and it pinched his hand, and he lost his temper. And his boss, who was not even a Christian, and you know there are people, if you try and serve God, they fight you. And his boss wasn't even a Christian, and he said, aha, you claimed to have got saved last Sunday. And he said, you lost your temper. And the new convert said, boss, let me tell you a story. He said, today we would duck hunt. You remember when them ducks come in, and you shot one, and I shot one? He said, yeah. And he said, you remember when I got in the little skiff, the little boat to go get them? Your duck was dead in the water. He said, yeah. And he said, you remember the one that I shot? I just hit him in the wing, and he was fighting to get away from me. I tried to grab him, and he scoot out across the water. He said, yeah. He said, well, boss, he said, you're like that dead duck. You're not even trying to serve God. But I am like that fluttering duck. I am at least trying to serve God. Amen. And you know what? I never got over that story. There are times serving God that you're not necessarily flying. But on the other hand, you haven't quit either. And the story I read you in the Bible is about a great prophet. Amen. Elijah. And I'll tell you what. There isn't anybody that can deny in this story I read to you. He was struggling. He was fluttering. You know, to flutter is to flap your wings rapidly without flying. And my wife was real hot in southern Missouri a couple years ago, and I came in and looked out the back window. I'd been working, and there was something black out there in the yard. Without my glasses, I can't see real good. I thought, is that a groundhog, or is that a log, something out there? And I went out there and looked, and Karen got feeling sorry for the birds because it's hot and dry. And she took the lid off our trash can and put it out there upside down and put water in it. And I thought, I'm going to help her out. And so I got some boards and leveled it so the little birds could get on without it falling over. And I said, Karen, I wonder, I'm still preaching on flutter. I said, I wonder if birds like ice water when it's 100 degrees. That water in that upside down lid was hot. And I got a 2-gallon pitcher, filled it level full of ice cube, put water in there, and went out there and dumped it in that. And I hadn't hardly turned around, and a great big old fat robin redbreast come down there, and he got right on the edge of that trash can lid, stuck his foot down in there and tested that water, because he thought it was hot, you know. And when he felt that water and felt it was cool, that big old robin backed up, and he done the biggest backflip you ever seen, landed in that water, done the backstroke, flopped around, swam all over it, got back up on the edge, jumped in there again, dove off. And you know what? I said, Karen, I have never seen anything like that in my life. That is the flutter, and he fluttered till he fluttered every bit of water in there out. 2 gallons of ice and water. He was a fluttering machine. Well, I'll tell you, even a wounded bird will flutter, mimic flight, try to get airborne. You ever seen an injured bird, how they'll flutter? They'll try to fly, but they can't fly. Elijah was a great prophet. He had soared like an eagle. The Bible said 3 times he was fed by the divine supply of God. 1 time the ravens fed him. 1 time a widow fed him. 1 time angels fed him. Elijah had stood before kings and rebuked them and said, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Elijah was mighty in prayer. He was divinely honored in the New Testament. But in this particular story in the Bible, he is not a mighty man of God. He's a human being who is struggling. He struggled. Let me read to you something. I want to read this to you. Many great men in the Bible sometime or another struggle. David was a great example of a Bible patriarch who struggled. In Psalm 73, you remember what he said? My foot had well nigh slipped. He was struggling. One time I read where he thought that Saul was going to kill him, and he fled to the Philistine king for protection. Job said, my soul is weary of life. I'm bitter in my soul. That doesn't sound like a guy that's flying. Jeremiah 15:10, Jeremiah said, my mother has a son that everyone curses. Amen. A lot of great men in Scripture at some time or another struggle. Amen. And I want to tell you something. I want to just let you know before I get started. There is a difference between fluttering and not even trying. There's a difference between someone who's trying to serve God, but they're struggling, and somebody who has quit and is not even trying. Amen. The Bible said Elijah ran away. I want to talk to you about his retreat, and I want to talk to you about his repair, and then he gets reprogrammed. He ran away. He was under pressure. Anybody here ever felt pressure? He had the pressure of the ministry, Brother Samuel. Not only that, he was a hunted man. There was a wicked queen that said she was going to kill him. He was also lonely because he had no relatives, no descendants. There's a big word, posterity, which simply means he didn't have anybody to carry on when he died. Just because you got saved, don't think that it's always going to be easy. I'm going to get saved and everything's going to be Cadillacs and cotton candy. It isn't always that way. I used to love to listen to a man on the radio late at night. Them late night radio preachers, some of them can really keep you awake. I know that. And this one, he said, I loved it. He said, everybody goes to my church as a millionaire. Oh, woo, that church I want to go to. He said, that's right. Every member of my church is a millionaire. He said, be sure and come this Sunday at the storefront building at the corner of 4th. I said, whoop, millionaires and storefront. That don't add up. So anyway, I caught on to that. But one night I was listening to him and he said, we're going to have anointed prayer sock service tomorrow. And he said, you go to town, buy you a brand new pair of socks. Now that right there was smart. Don't bring stinky old socks. Get a new pair of socks. And you come down here to my church and we're going to anoint your socks. And then you put them on, Brother Jody. Think about this now. This is what he said. And you go down to Cadillac dealership tomorrow. Amen. And you walk around that Cadillac that you want, and it's going to be yours. I told Karen, I said, I'm going to that service. I'm going to that one. She said, you ain't going because it won't work. Well, I'll tell you what, she was right. It won't work. It wouldn't matter how many pairs of socks they anointed. You can go to every Cadillac dealership in town. It ain't going to work that way. Just because you got saved don't mean you're never going to face nothing. The Apostle Paul said this, and you know, you never hear none of these modern day, you're going to get rich preachers. Read this verse. But the Apostle Paul said, we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. Sorry. We would not have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch we despaired even of life. There are times when it's tough. There are times when you got a wing down. There, Abraham went to Egypt in a famine. Joseph had his time in the dungeon. Esther and Mordecai had a death sentence over them. David fled to the Philistine king. Hey, we need to remember sometimes, you know, sorry, but we are not on the broad way. We are on the straight and narrow way. Amen. Amen. The Bible said that if you're going to be a child of God, you're on that straight and narrow way. And there are difficulties and there are hardships. Stay with me. I'll get you out of the forest after a while. But all of the pressure and all of the trials that this great man of God went to, he collapsed. Child of God collapsed. You mean everybody don't always have victory? He collapsed. Good to see you, Sister Honolulu Jr. Praise God. He collapsed, didn't he? And Thompson said he had a nervous breakdown. Said he was despondent. He sought death. He prayed unwise prayers. I heard about this man one time. He working on the job carrying bricks up to bricklayers. He climbed a big tall ladder with bricks. Or he's tearing mud up to him. And he said, God, this is so hot out here. I wish I was dead. And the man up above accidentally dropped a brick and knocked him off the ladder. He said, holy God, I didn't really mean it. I'll tell you what, this man here in Scripture, he meant it. He collapsed. The Bible said he went to a cave. And how many has ever been in a cave? Ever seen one? I live in the Ozarks and there's caves there. We had some folk come from Georgia and they said, could you show us a cave? I said, you're asking me if I can show you a cave? We can show you all kinds of caves. Man, we showed them a bunch of caves. Let them go in. Caves aren't a very good place to live though. They're dirty and they're wet and they're damp and they're moldy and they got bats in there and I'm scared to death of bats. But Elijah was so discouraged and he was struggling and he went to this cave and the Bible said he lodged there. If you look that word up in a Strong's Concordance, it means he said, I ain't never coming out of here. My gravestone is going to be right over the door to this cave. Here lies Elijah, the great man of God who died depressed in a dark hole in the rock somewhere. Fluttered. But I love this. Let me ask you a question. Don't things come and knock us down? Sickness. Some people, they were doing good and sickness came. Others were doing good and fear came. Others were doing good and failure came. Others were doing good and depression or discouragement or bitterness come. And all of a sudden they're fluttering. But I'll tell you what, I love this story. In this story here, this guy's running away. He's running, running, running. And God is chasing, chasing, chasing. He's trying to get away. God, I'm done. I'm through. I love it. When I read a story in the Bible, it comes alive for me. God, I'm tired of serving you. I give up. I quit. And he's running out in the desert. And God running behind. No, you didn't give up. No, you didn't quit. Yes, I did. Leave me alone. It's all your fault anyway. And God said, you'll be all right after a while. Because I'm fixing to pick you up and help you. Listen, friend, you can be struggling. But I want to give you a guarantee. God will not forget you in your struggle. When you're in the middle of a struggle, you feel like you're all alone. But you can be sure that God sees you in the struggle. You know that it doesn't matter how terrible the situation, how difficult it gets. Amen. The Bible said God's eyes go to and forth across the face of the whole earth on behalf of those whose hearts are toward him. You can be sure when you're laying down wishing you could die because of the struggle, God knows where you're at. Elijah ran away. God began to repair his life. Amen. He laid down out in the middle of the desert and said, enough is enough. I just want to die. And I'll tell you what, as he slept, I love it. I don't know how they get signals in heaven, you know. Sister Bobby's talking about that guy throwing something in her car. If somebody throws something in my car, I'm going to contact them with a high-speed wireless device. You can ask me about that after church, what that is. But anyway, you know what? God's got something faster than high-speed wireless device. And angels up in there know when his children are struggling. And this man laying down and he's about to die, wanting to die. And some angel up there, I don't know if he has a pager or what, but this angel all of a sudden gets a signal from God. And the Bible said an angel was dispatched and he went down there and cooked some food and said, get up and eat. And he ate that food and laid him down again. And another angel got the call. Go minister to this man. He's struggling. Go minister to this man. He's down. I don't want to bore you, but I'm going to try to help somebody. Amen. And I'll tell you what, he ate two times, and the Bible said he went in the strength of that meat to Horeb, the mount of God. Hallelujah. Now I want to tell you something. This is the part that really helps me, Brother Samuel. When we are in the middle of a struggle, all we see is our problem. But God can see our heart, and he knows the difference between a quitter and a fighter. You know that? Somebody said, well, Elijah quit. Well, he said, you know, he was saying he was quitting, but he was headed to the Mount of God. I believe in his heart, Brother Richard, he was thinking, I'm struggling, but just maybe if I'll go to the Mount of God. I feel the Holy Ghost here. I feel like I know he's wanting to talk to somebody here. Maybe, just maybe I'll go to the Mount of God. And even though I'm in a struggle, God will come to me and God will help me. And I didn't read it to you for sake of time. But I'll tell you what, you know what? Angel came the first time, an angel came the second time. But this man was still hurting. And the third time, the Lord himself showed up and said, I'm going to do what I can to fix you up and get you out of that cave. Amen. He said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah said three things. God, he said, number one, everybody's serving the devil. There's nobody left serving God except me. And number two, they want to kill me. And number three, I don't have any descendants, any posterity. And God said, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord. And the Bible said there was a great wind. And after the wind, a great earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But if you study that portion of scripture and read it, he did not obey God and come out. I've been in services where a great Holy Ghost wind blew through the building, brother, and it helped me. But there are other times I was too hurt for that. I've been in services where there's an earthquake shook the place, you know what I mean? But then there were times I was too hurt for that. Or the fire of God. But I'll tell you what, God pulled out his best weapon. He pulled the still small voice of God, came and talked to him in his heart and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And the Bible said when he heard that, he went out to the entering end of the cave, that still small voice of God began to minister to him and help him over the struggle that he was in and get him patched up again to the place that he could experience revival in his life and be on top again. I want to tell you something. God won't leave you in your struggle, but God will come to you and repair your life. Amen. And help you. When he came out that second time, he told God again. Let me read it to you. He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. The children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Amen. And God said, number one, Elijah, go back the way you come. I love that, because that right there is telling they're not going to kill you. If they're going to kill you, God would have said, like he told Mary and Joseph, go down into Egypt or something. But God said, they're not going to kill you. Go back to where you came. He answered his first request. Amen. He's repairing him. And then this business about nobody serving God. God said, I have 7,000 people that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. And he fixed that. And God said, go anoint Elisha to be prophet in your stead. And if you study that, God actually told him, I'm giving you an adopted son. And God ministered to every need he had. And I'll tell you what, he began to be healed of his struggle. He was fluttering, but God began to repair his life. And not only that, God began to reprogram his thinking. Amen. You're going to get revival. You're not going to die in this cave. I had a man tell me, he was walking out in the woods, and he came across a young bird with a hurt wing. And he said, I brought it home with me. How many years ever seen a little bird, a little hurt bird? I did when I was growing up. Knee boys, and I put it in a box and tried to nurse it, patch it up. And this was a grown man. He said, I tried to feed that little bird for 2 days. It wouldn't eat. But he said, the third day it started eating. Man, he said, it got to where it was eating a lot of worms. It was getting after it. And he said, it'd flop around in that box. And he said, his little wing that it was dragging began to get better. And, you know, he said, I told that little bird, he said, you know, bird, you need some sunshine. So he said, tomorrow I'm going to get a lawn chair and take it out in the yard. And I'm going to get your little bird condominium and take it out in the yard. And we're going to sit there in the sun together. And he said, I got me a lawn chair and I was sitting there. And I set that little bird in that box down beside me. And he said, I was enjoying the sun. And he said, you know what that bird did? He said, he flew off. He said, he deserted me. Got right out of that box and flew off. I'll tell you what happened. He got better. And he quit fluttering. And he quit struggling. And he said, I've had enough of this bird condominium. I am going to go where birds are supposed to be. And he flew off. Well, I'll tell you what, amen, God repaired Elijah, and God reprogrammed Elijah. And you know what? There's not a cave somewhere over there in Israel with the epitaph of a prophet that died in the cave. No, no, no. As a matter of fact, there's not an epitaph of that prophet anywhere in any cemetery. Because the Bible said, if you read it, verse 19, he departed. He left that cave. He made up his mind, I'm better. I'm going to fly again. After a while, friend, you'll fly again. After a while, God will heal you. After a while, God will touch your life. And you'll get up and go again. Amen. Did he fly again? He starts back to work for God. In 1 Kings 19 and 19, he anointed Elisha. He's starting to fly. In 1 Kings 21, 20 through 24, he's in perfect form. Ahab's walking around in Naboth's vineyard, and Elijah jumps out from behind the bush. Amen. Aha, caught you. And messed up Ahab's day. And I'll tell you what, that's not the last time he flies. Because in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11, amen, the Bible said, a chariot of fire came down, and a live human being got on a chariot and was translated alive out of this world into the glory world. And that's not the last time he blew, Brother Jody. Because in the New Testament, on the Mount of Transfiguration, up there with Jesus Christ and Moses. Guess who it was? It was Elijah. He was still flying. And I'll tell you what, he'd tell you tonight that the struggle, that the fluttering is not the end, but hold on to God. And after a while, he'll bring you out of that and you will fly again. You can get up. God's going to help you. The devil's a liar. Now I'm going to tell you my heart. I have laid across the altar. I don't know about you, but I have laid across the altar and cried my eyes out. And I said, God, I am fluttered. But I am not dead. I'm trying. There's a difference between somebody that's not even trying and somebody that's trying. And God can see that heart. And you're trying, God gonna come and help you. I know you have to always preface everything. I know there's some folk that just love to be down all the time. You can't help them if they don't want to fly. I'm not preaching to them. But I'm preaching that one that has flown before. But all of a sudden something come your way and your wing dropped and you're fluttering. I come to tell you that God said he's going to help you. And after a while you're going to fly again. Amen. Sister Bethany, y'all, however you do it now, get us some song, music. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. God, I pray you'd help us. God, dead ducks don't flutter. But Christians who are trying sometimes flutter. But you help them and they fly again. Lord, you ordered this service. I know you did. Some tonight here are fluttering. God, we want to send you and the devil a message. We're fluttering, but we haven't quit. And we're not dead. And we're going to keep on fighting till you come to us and get us up again. And I know you will. In Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me if you would. If you've never fought the devil, I had a preacher call me one time and he said, Brother Don, you got to come start revival for me tomorrow. The devil's on my back porch. Nope, devil ain't on your back porch. How do you know? I said, because he's on my front porch right now. And he can't be two places at once. Everybody fights the devil that's serving God. And he'll say to you, well, you're struggling, so you're not serving God like you testified, sister. But there's a difference between that one that's fluttering and that dead duck that ain't even trying. All right, brother. Praise God. And if you're here and you're in the middle of a struggle, I feel the wind of God blowing here, God, standing. Those prayers were so good when I come in tonight to hear them. God's going to help you. I give you my word on this. God will not leave you in a cave. But if you want to fly again, he'll come and revive you and get you up. If you're struggling tonight, come down here to this altar and find your place to pray. It's not a sin to struggle. It's a sin to quit. And I'll tell you, I believe with God's help, you're going to get up again. You're going to get up again. If you have to, just lay over this altar and cry your eyes out. Say, God, I'm fluttering, but I ain't dead. God seen that man of God's heart, Brother Samuel. He knew he was headed to the Mount of God. God said, I'm going to help you. Is anybody here that's not a Christian? I give an invitation to come to this altar and find your place to pray. If you can't kneel, you're welcome to sit in your chair and pray. Just however you want to do. Brother Samuel, you pray and I'll pray. We'll pray, folk. But I'll tell you, God wants to help us. God wants to help us.
Like an eagle in its tether, always reaches for the sky.